I've got a special friend with me today, somebody that I've known for many years now.
Yes.
We used to play trivia back in the day.
Yeah.
And even before that, before I met you, you actually knew my wife way before I even met her.
Yes, I did. I've known her many years.
So you've been kind of part of the family for a long time. And
you know, you haven't kicked me out yet.
No,
so.
No, not yet. Well, I mean, you're family. You can't get rid of family. It just doesn't work that way. But the reason I brought you on today is it is National Spina Bifida Month.
Yes, it is.
And so I thought that this was a good opportunity to talk about spina bifida, what it is, the history of treatment, anything that maybe the listeners can learn about it. So, spoiler alert, James has spina bifida.
Oh, no, really? I didn't know that, man. No, you're telling me that for the first time.
I know, right? Well, spina bifida, it's a birth defect that occurs when the spine and the spinal cord don't form properly, but I'm no expert.
None of us are experts on it. Even when we have it, we're not experts on it. So.
There you go. But I think that you could probably shed more light on the kind of living with spina bifida and what that kind of means.
Well, living with spina bifida is, it's a challenge, but if you want something done, you're going to do it no matter what. You know, you're not going to let anything stop you from doing what you want to do. And that's kind of the mindset you have to have with spina bifida. Like you said, spina bifida is, it's a birth defect, and they don't really know what the cause of it is. You know, they are trying now to tell women now to take folic acid. They're thinking that folic acid is the deficiency of that in the woman's diet that causes it. They really don't know. And it's also hereditary, too. So it could be in your family for years and never show up. You know, like I've got two sisters who are, as I say, normal. You know, they're up walking. Then I've got spina bifida. We're wondering what happened, you know. So we looked in our family, and it really was in our family for generations ago. Also, anybody with spina bifida has hydrocephalus, which...
And tell us what that is.
It's fluid on the brain.
Okay.
And if you've ever seen a baby, or usually babies, they have big foreheads. They don't put a shunt in their head, which a shunt is a valve that runs from your head all the way down to your stomach and empties that fluid. And I have two shunts in my head. One has been in my head since I was 4 days old. The other one since I was 36.
Okay. And are they, because I don't actually know this, are they still active? Do they still actively maintain
the... one that's been in my, when I was 4 years old, no. Okay. But they didn't want to take it out because it's been so embedded in there. But the other one is still, it works. I mean, I guess it still works. I mean, I'm still living, so.
Right.
Also, another strange with a spina bifida, it's called the snowflake birth defect because nobody has the same disability. Like, I had a former friend of mine had the same type I had, and he was up walking. You know, wasn't a wheelchair. You couldn't even tell anything was wrong with him except for the opening in his spine. I'm a person just like everybody else. That's what I really hate about society anymore. You know, they talk down to people, and I'm like, I might be disabled. You know, my legs be disabled. But my brain, you know, you don't have to talk to me like I'm a little kid, you know. I can answer things and, you know, kind of sound intelligent, kind of, you know.
You're paralyzed from the waist down, not paralyzed up in the
exactly,
brain.
Exactly, yeah. Well, it depends on who you ask about that, honestly. I mean, if you ask my family, they're like, he's paralyzed from the head up, so...
And that's an important point. I have known other people in my life that have spina bifida that does affect them differently. Mm-hmm. Some people are able to have limited mobility in their legs, for example, and it affects everybody differently.
It depends on the type of spina bifida they have. There's three different types of it, but the first one is occulta, and it's the least severe. And the one I have is called myelomeningocele. Do not ask me how to spell that.
I was going to say, that's a mouthful.
It is. I'm doing good to say it. Yeah. I'm doing good to say it. I don't spell it. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm throwing a lot of big words out there for people. And if you ever want to look up anything about spina bifida, there are a lot of interesting articles on Google. Mm-hmm. You can also look up Spina Bifida Association of Kentucky.org. And that gives you everything. This past weekend, they had their walk and roll. And I can tell you two famous people that have spina bifida. John Cougar Mellencamp and Hank Williams.
And I think that goes to show how it affects different people differently, because you wouldn't know.
No. To look at them, they're perfectly fine, you know. Yeah. I mean, I know Hank Williams died when he was really young. I forget what they actually caused the death was for him, but I've read recently he had spina bifida. And I thought, that's pretty interesting.
So what is the typical life expectancy for somebody with spina bifida?
It depends on the type, but normally... Most of my friends that have already passed away, they're like in their 30s. Of course, I'm 47, and you know, I'm shooting for being the oldest person with spina bifida, which I have looked that up, and he's in his 80s. So I've got 40 more years to go, and I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna pass the guy.
Absolutely.
You know. So.
Yeah, I think you can do it.
I know I can.
Yeah.
Well, you got to have a positive attitude with it. You know, I've had so many friends that they give up on things. I've had one friend that she stays in the house all day long, does not get outside, and it would drive me crazy, you know, if I did that. I drive myself. You know, if anybody's ever seen me out, I've got my little Saturn. I go everywhere. There's hardly anything that stops me except for some places in E-Town that have steps.
I was going to say, a bunch of steps.
Yeah, I'm like, I really wish there could be a person in a wheelchair on any construction team for any building that's going up, because they have to have a certain level of a ramp. Mm-hmm. And there's some ramps I've looked at. I'm like, are you crazy? I can't go up it by myself. I can't go. Well, I could go down it, but I'd end up on I-65.
And I know the ADA has compliance on angles, but maybe that's something that, and I see the point where having somebody there on site could really say, well, this really doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to note that just because there's rules that say you do this, that's kind of like the lowest bar.
Yes.
And we should be trying to raise that bar, mm-hmm. and make things more accessible for everybody.
You're right. And the world should be more accessible for, you know, disabilities anyway, because, you know, we're all wanting to be one person. You know, we're not wanting to be seen for our disabilities. That's what I put the thing on Facebook yesterday, you know, see the person, not the wheelchair. I'll be the first person to make a wheelchair joke.
Hey, and how well do you dance?
Oh, I got four left wheels, man. I mean, you know. So I just go around in circles. Yeah. I have a friend, and she's like, why do you make jokes about yourself? I'm like, because it eases people's tensions.
It makes it more comfortable. Yeah. If you can't enjoy life for what it is, then there's no really point. No. There's no point in it.
And I could boo-hoo about this, but then I would be a terrible person. I don't know, no one would want me around.
Yeah.
And I like being around people. I mean, yes, I have my times where I'm, you know, depressed. And that's one thing that I've learned with spina bifida. Depression does go with that. You know, and I have my bouts with it, and I've tried to stay away from people with that, but you can't stay away from everybody.
Yeah.
24/7, and you know, you gotta have to live your life.
And it does rub off. A bad attitude,
yes, it
is
does.
Infectious.
It does. It really is.
What kind of research is there going on? And I know that you said that they're kind of experimenting with different vitamins and nutrients when the baby's in the womb, but mm-hmm. what kind of medical research has been done in advancements?
They really haven't done any medical, but I mean, talking about in the womb, they actually fix spina bifida in the womb. Mm-hmm. There's videos on YouTube, and no, I have not watched them myself. I can't sit and watch them because I feel every little stitch they're doing, and I'm like, no, forget this. But, yeah, there's videos where they do it, and there's one little child, he's got spina bifida, but he is the most uplifting. If you're having a bad day, watch these videos, and you can have a smile on your face, you know. And I try to do that with people, you know. I try to make people laugh if I can, even if I'm having a bad day, you know. Everybody's like, well, why do you have such a good attitude? I'm like, well, why not? I'm alive, you know. And because my doctor's told my parents he won't live overnight. That's 47 years ago.
Right.
You know, and I'd love to see those doctors now and be like, you know, I'm that kid you said wouldn't live.
You're a breathing, rolling miracle.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I don't remember thinking of myself in that sure. aspect, but because that would give me a big head, not due to the hydrocephalus, but, you know, but it would make me think better of myself. And I don't want to be that I'm better than anybody. I'm not better than anybody. I'm just a person trying to live their life. If anybody knows me that wants to ask questions, ask me anything.
And it's important to remember that people with disabilities, whatever that disability might be, it could be that they're in a wheelchair, or it could be a different kind of disability. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're an amputee or whatever it is. They do have important roles, and they have benefits that they can give to our society. Let's just say hypothetically that somebody like Einstein had spina bifida and he wasn't able to walk, mm-hmm. and you just wrote him off. That would put our physics world back.
Yes, it would. So
yeah, and it's important to remember that just because somebody's in a wheelchair or whatever that disability might be, it doesn't define them.
No, don't ever write somebody off just because of what their deformity is or their ailment. What mm-hmm. you know, don't write somebody off, because even though they can't use their legs, the brain still works.
Right, and Stephen Hawking is a perfect example of that. So National Spina Bifida Month, any last thoughts that you want to give the listener about spina bifida or just kind of life in general about it?
Just to the parents out there, if your child sees a person in a wheelchair, don't ever shy the child away from going and asking them the question. because 9 times out of 10, the person in the wheelchair or any disability period will be glad to answer a question. You know, I've been in stores and I've heard or overheard kids asking, you know, what's wrong with that guy in the wheelchair? And the mother would be like, oh, he broke his leg. Don't sit there and tell a story to a kid. Tell them the truth. I'm not going to sit and use big words like hydrocephalus, you know.
No, but it's going to give them a better understanding.
Yes, and they'll understand a little bit better. And, you know,
we're not going to make advancements in the medical field or society if everybody just makes lowball assumptions like that.
Exactly. Never make assumptions because, you know, you don't know what the person's going through in their life. And I'm glad to answer any question there is.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today, James.
Well, thank you, Adam.
National Spina Bifida Month. It's a good time to get awareness. If you would like to know any more about Spina Bifida, what was that website again?
SBAK, which is Spina Bifida Association of Kentucky.org.